Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Tuesday, May 1st. And we've been off for a few days here. I have been under the weather, so I do apologize for my voice and the way I sound. And I might have a sneeze or a cough here on this show, which I will apologize for in advance, but we are a couple days after the NFL draft, and we've all had some time to digest it and let it sink in who Miami has selected, and we've all read up on all the players and such. And if you want to know more in-depth stuff on everyone Miami took in last weekend's draft, go to the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We got video up on all these guys. We got scouting reports up on all these guys. We got all the info you need on everyone Miami selected from round 1 straight through round 7. So check that out up on the website. But the first thing I want to talk about today is draft grades. Now look, we all know to grade a draft, you know, a week after it's happened is, for lack of a better word, dumb. We all get it. But just like with mock drafts, which are also a big waste of time, it's a fun thing to do. You can't take it too seriously. It's sort of like a rite of passage every year. You do your mock drafts. You do your draft grades after the draft. You don't put a lot of thought into it. And you try not to get worked up over it when you're way off on your mock draft, or you see a draft grade, you know, 1 or 2 days after the draft that you're like, what? That don't make any sense. But I've seen a couple things and that just make no sense at all. And I want to call some people out by name. So first and foremost, let's talk about Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper, you know, he's been doing this forever. And I'm one of those guys who actually like Mel Kiper a lot. I think he does great work. I'm not one who just sort of knocks him or trashes him just because it's the quote-unquote in thing to do. I like Mel. I think he does great work for ESPN. And he's been doing this for a long time. He knows this stuff. Whether you agree with him on everything or not, that's a whole different story. But he knows this stuff. But when I'm reading his draft grade for the Miami Dolphins that he put out on Monday, he gave Miami a C+, which, whatever. You want to give him a C+, that's fine. I would give him a little bit higher, but I'm not going to argue that. C+. But here's why I can't take his grade seriously. Because you can tell he didn't do his homework at all. Because he gives the Miami Dolphins a C+. He goes, their top needs heading into the draft, the top three needs were A, offensive line, B, linebacker, and C, running back. Now, right there, I don't need to read the rest of it. You already lost me. Because heading into this draft, if you think offensive line and running back were in the top three needs for the Miami Dolphins, I mean, you're just lost on the subject. You don't know what you're talking about. Yes, linebacker was one of the top needs, but tight end was right there with linebacker. One was 1 and 1 was 1A. So to list the top three needs and not even mention tight end is just not knowing the situation. The other thing, he gives Miami a C+ grade because he knocks them for not selecting a quarterback in this draft. Now, this is once again, I mean, look, the Miami Dolphins, if they weren't going to take a quarterback in rounds 1 or 2, which essentially were Rosen, Mayfield, Allen, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, and I'm going to throw in Mason Rudolph, those six. If they weren't going to take one of those six, and I said this on the podcast last week, and I even said the week before that, so if you don't believe me, Go back and listen to the archives. Anyone they would have taken afterwards, whether it's Mike White, Kyle Lauletta, all those guys, they're no better. They're no better and will never be any better than David Fells. So why take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback? It makes zero sense. Zero sense. So Mel Kiper here, he's going to give the Miami Dolphins a low grade in their draft because they didn't take a quarterback. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And he doesn't even know the needs of the team. So that's a grade that's pretty bad. And to quote the long-term from 1994, who the hell's Mel Kiper? Well, like I said, I like Mel Kiper, but in this instance, who the hell's Mel Kiper? Because Mel Kiper has no idea what he's talking about in the year 2018 concerning the Miami Dolphins. You want to give him a C+, that's fine. I'm not going to fight you on that, but you better have some valid reasons to back it up. And he doesn't have valid reasons to back it up when you don't know the needs and you're saying they just need to take a quarterback, I guess, just for the sake of taking a quarterback. Because, you know, if Tannehill gets hurt, you know, week 3, if we drafted Mike White in round, you know, 5, that would mean the world of difference. Give me a break. That's where Mel lost me, so I'm going to knock him. Now, if there's somebody who's actually worse, I guess it would be Chad Forbes. And if you're asking who is Chad Forbes, exactly. Nobody knows who Chad Forbes is, but he's one of these guys on Twitter who has made a little cottage industry of himself being a draft guru / expert. And that's fine, whatever. That's how he makes a living, I guess. More power to him. He gave grades not just for the draft. He gave grades he gave each team a grade for their entire offseason collectively. And he gave the Miami Dolphins an F. Now, I mean, once again, it's almost like you can't make this stuff up. You want to give the Miami Dolphins an F. I don't know. Look, once again, I'm not saying they should get an A. I'm not even saying they should be getting a B. But an F is a little harsh. It's a little harsh on many levels. First off, I'm guessing, and I would bet my life on this, someone like Chad Forbes just looks at no Sue, no Landry, no Mike Pouncey. They must suck. I guarantee you that's about the level of thought he put into it, which we all know as people who follow this team closely and such, that is not the case. Let's start just alone with Mike Pouncey. Mike Pouncey hasn't been a good offensive lineman, and I will take this to my grave. Mike Pouncey hasn't been a good offensive lineman the past 3 years or so, at least. Okay, one, he's never on the field, and two, when he is, he ain't the same guy, and he's at about, you know, 50% of what he once was. So losing Mike Pouncey is addition by subtraction. The fact they replaced him with someone who is, you know, more than capable of pulling down the fort at center is just a plus. When it comes to Landry, I know. Landry's a great player. We all love Landry. He caught 100 balls and such. But, you know, at the end of the day, and I hate saying it because it makes me sound like I'm knocking Jarvis Landry, which I'm not doing and I don't want to do, but he is just a slot receiver at the end of the day. I mean, he really is. And we did, in this type of offense, force-feed him the ball a lot. A real lot. So, yes, he was catching 80, 90, 100 balls year after year, but he was also getting a ton of volume thrown his way. And I'm not saying anyone we throw out there would put up the same numbers if we threw them the ball as much, but I don't think the drop-off will be as drastic as some think. Let me just leave it at that. And the other thing with Sue, look, Sue is a great player. He's going to the Hall of Fame, but he was making more money than most quarterbacks in this league, okay? So Miami had to get rid of him for financial reasons. You can get into whether they should have ever signed him. You can get into whether they should have restructured him and held on to him. That's fine. But when you're tying this into Miami's offseason grade, and then you tie in the draft, which I will talk about here in a second. The draft, you know, you might not love it, but it wasn't enough. And the draft was pretty damn good. To give them an F for an offseason grade is comical at best. It's comical at best. Like I say sometimes, you read this stuff for comic relief. Chad Forbes has no clue what he's talking about. Not a clue at all when it comes to the Miami Dolphins not a clue to what Miami has done this offseason. Again, nobody's saying they're going to win the Super Bowl next year or they're going to be in the playoffs, but to give their offseason grade an F, I mean, is just laughable. If you would have gave him a C, you know, probably wouldn't have looked twice at it, and we wouldn't even be talking about this now. But an F, you either have an agenda you're trying to carry out or something, I don't know, because that just makes no sense. And then on the other hand, he gives a team like the Buffalo Bills an A. The Bills get an A. They lost their they lost three starting offensive linemen, and they've done pretty much nothing to replace any of them. They went into the draft with six picks in rounds 1, 2, and 3. They traded most away, and they came out with just three players. Now, mind you, the first few picks they had were very good. They have the oldest roster in the NFL. I checked on that. They have the oldest roster in the NFL, and they did very little to replenish it and get younger in some spots. You want to give them an A? I just don't get it, but hey, that's Chad Forbes for you. If you want to read him and take him seriously, I guess that's your problem, because I just think it's laughable on every level. Like I said, draft grades are like mock drafts. You have a little fun with them. You don't take them too seriously. You don't read too much into it. I try not to get worked up about it. But when you see things like Mel Kiper and Chad Forbes, what they put out there, it's like, guys, you can't be serious. Have you done even a least bit of research on this? We put some up here on the site, myself, Tom, Brett, and Bobby. So check them out if you want. I guarantee you they're no Fs. but you can check them out on the website, DolphinsTalk.com. Next thing I want to talk about is this draft, in my eyes, was a pretty much an early birthday gift to Matt Burke. And Matt Burke last year, in his first year as the defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins, he had a rough go of it. It wasn't very good. He struggled at times. Miami on defense was, you know, they were just downright awful when it came to things like covering the tight end. Obviously, Burke lost his second-round pick last year in Raekwon McMillan, so that didn't help matters any. It was just a rough go of it. You know, he had Andre Branch was hurt for most of the year. Charles Harris took him a little bit longer to adjust to the NFL game than he would have liked. So Matt Burke this year, though, heading into 2018, has zero excuses, okay? And let's just put it online now. It's May 1st, 2018. Matt Burke, come this September, has zero excuses, as this defense right now has a lot of things in place for him for this to be a successful unit. Now, I'm not saying it's got to be the best unit in the NFL. That's unrealistic. But it should be, let's just say, leaps and bounds better than it was in 2017. And let's talk about why. Number one, the secondary on the Miami Dolphins. If it's not the deepest, most talented secondary in the NFL, it's probably in the top five. And some people say, well, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration. No, it's not, okay? No, it's not. Because Rashad Jones is a Pro Bowl at safety. McDonald's a very good safety. Bobby McCain last year, you know, he played at a very high level. And he played very well. Do not let anyone lie to your face and tell you he is not very good. Bobby McCain is cutting into the last year of his contract. Odds are he won't be back in Miami in 2019, because if he plays this upcoming year like he played last year, there's going to be a lot of teams out there throwing a bunch of money in his face. Bobby McCain will be a very rich man 1 year from now. Bobby McCain played very well. Xavien Howard, as we saw last year towards the end of the year, really started to, it all came together for him. He played at a very high level at the end of the year last year. Tankersley, he was thrown out there into the fire, and he held his own for the most part last year. Excuse me. He held his own, and he got hurt there at the end of the year, but I'm not going to hold that against him because he did more than okay for a third-round pick who was just thrown into the fire. You have Lippitt. He's coming back, and now you got Micah Fitzpatrick who, look, when you come out of a draft, there's very few players in a draft you can say, I don't know if he'll be great, but I know he's not going to be a bust. And with Micah Fitzpatrick, I don't know how great he'll be, but I will bet my life that he will never be a bust, and he will be a very good player in this league. It sounds like they're going to start him off at free safety to start and also play some nickel corner, match him up against tight ends and such. So so for Matt Burke to start, just to start with the secondary, it is light years better than it was last year this time, and he has far more talent this year and far more experienced talent right now than he had last year this time. So that's number one. Linebackers, now, it's not even close to linebackers. I don't think our linebacker unit's still, you know, very good, but I'll just say this. It's good enough, okay? If everyone's healthy, it's good enough. You're getting back to start Raekwon McMillan. That will be a huge plus. We now have into the fold Jerome Baker, who, I will say this about him, Baker. A lot of speed, and I think he's going to fill a role for the Miami Dolphins on defense that's very specific, and that's fine, though. But because I think his speed and him being able to cover a lot of ground and him being able to cover running backs out of the backfields and help out on tight ends and stuff, that's once again something we haven't had in Miami in so long. So you got Raekwon McMillan. Oh, and the other thing with Baker, he reminds me a little bit, and I hope he ends up playing better than. But if he only turns out to be a better version of Jelani Jenkins, I'm okay with that. Because for where we got him around three, I'm okay with it. Now, I think he might be better in time and for a longer period of time than someone like Jelani Jenkins. But those two guys to me are very similar because they are smaller. They depended on their speed and such like that. So he might be in that mold, which I'm okay with because you can live with that as your third linebacker. But with the return of Raekwon, you throw in Jerome Baker in the mix. Hopefully they put Kiko Alonso in the right spot because he played out of position last year. He just did. They cannot put him back in that spot last year and expect anything to change. Put him back to the middle. That's where he needs to be. And then we will also have Stephon Anthony now for a full year. And to me, he's the wild card. Stephon Anthony is the wild card here because if he even plays to half of his potential, he gives this unit a little bit of depth here. A little bit of depth, and he gives them something where, he was a first-round pick in 2015. He hasn't lived up to the hype, clearly, but if he can just play better like he did his first year with the Saints, that would help this linebacker unit immensely. I know they brought in some undrafted free agents like Mike McCray and such. Maybe one of those guys hit and they stick. Who knows? We'll see. But I think overall, that unit has improved. Once again, it's not great, but it's good enough. And when you have a great secondary, which I think that unit is, and then you got the linebackers, which are good enough, and now we move on to the defensive line. Yes, we lost Sue, but aside from that, pretty much everyone's back. You've added in Robert Quinn and Charles Harris. He improved as the year went on. He's heading into his second year. So I think we'll see a big leap from Harris this year. So overall, Matt Burke has no excuses in 2018 because he's got the pieces now. He has the pieces. Obviously, I think they'll look to add another defensive tackle to throw into the rotation. There's some guys out there. There are going to be some vets out there. And there's no rush for that either. I know there's a few free agents out there. Now they could sign, but those guys will be a little costly. But you're going to have veterans cut throughout training camp right up until week one of the regular season. They can find that sort of fourth rotational defensive tackle then. There's no rush for it. But overall, I want to talk about this because last weekend with the draft, when they added Fitzpatrick and Jerome Baker, you know, Matt Burke really has no excuses. They need to play better as a unit this year on defense because as bad as things were last year for Miami on offense, you can sort of forgive it because, look, they were happy because they were forced to play with Matt Moore and Jay Cutler, but, you know, they had everybody there last year on defense, and now they added more pieces to it. So what's the excuse? Matt Burke, you know, no more excuses. So hopefully in 2018 he'll have a better year. I touched on this just now about free agency. Free agency is really not done. There's still a lot of guys out there and a lot of guys who can play in this league who are still on the open market that Miami right now has almost no money. I think they're like under $3 million. They have no money. But as we know, June 1st, they get that $17 million, which is 1 month from today. So they're going to be around $20 million. Obviously, they have to put some of that money aside to pay the rookies. But whatever's left over, if they want, I would not be shocked to see them make a move and get at least one more player for the roster. Now, where would they be looking? Like I just said, defensive tackle is a very real possibility. I also think offensive line is a possibility. And not to bring in someone to start. I'm thinking to bring in someone as a backup, you know, swing tackle, maybe to push Sam Young a little bit, or maybe another guard type. Maybe there's a veteran out there with a little bit of experience under his belt that they'd rather have on the bench. God forbid someone has to play because there's an injury. So keep an eye on that. Like I said, I wouldn't expect any free agent signings between now and June 1st. But it's possible. Kenny Vaccaro, I think, would be out of the question after the Mika Fitzpatrick signing. Defensive tackle, Jonathan Hankins is out there. He's only 26. He'd be great in Miami, honestly, but he might cost too much money, and I don't think Miami would want to pay him what he could get from some other teams. But there are guys out there, and I wouldn't be shocked if come late May, first part of June, Miami makes a move to sign a veteran that can help him somewhere this upcoming year. One other thing, this is just a number change. Laremy Tunsil announced he is switching numbers. He wore 67 his first few years in Miami. He's now going back to number 78. That's the number he wore in college. So Laremy Tunsil will be wearing number 78. The last Miami Dolphins, I would say the last notable Miami Dolphin player to wear that was Richmond Webb, also left tackle. So hopefully we get some good karma there. And Laremy Tunsil, when he goes back to number 78, plays a little better too, because last year was not a great year for him. But I'm still very high on Laremy Tunsil and what he can do. Armando Salguero, he put out a tweet today that was very interesting. Very interesting. He said that this past January, the Miami Dolphins had Ron Wolfen to meet with the Miami Dolphins front office and scouting departments and stuff to sort of talk to them and give them his perspective on things. Ron Wolf, for those of you who don't know, the longtime general manager for the Green Bay Packers, as well as many other teams, and he's very well respected in many league circles. He's the one who is often credited with saying that each year you should always draft a quarterback no matter what because it's such an important position, blah, blah, blah. So he is still to this day, now he's more of a consultant to many teams, but Ron Wolf, you know, just one of the more respected guys in the NFL, still to this day. So it was just interesting that Armando, let me see if I can find a tweet. The Dolphins brought in Ron Wolf to speak to their personnel department and ask his advice in December and January. That I find that kind of interesting. But I would say this. That is very good for the Miami Dolphins to bring someone like that in, have their scouting department and personnel people talk to someone like him and just sort of pick his brain, get his ideas. Right here, Ron Wolf has been tied in with the NFL since 1963. He worked with the Raiders, Tampa Bay, the Raiders again, the Jets, and the Packers. Like I said, he's most known for his time with the Packers from 1991 to 2001. He helped build three Super Bowl champions. One of the most respected personnel guys, scouts, general managers of all time in the NFL. So Miami brought him in to have their people talk to him and sort of pick his brain and get some ideas. And I like that. But it is funny that the one thing Ron Wolf swears by is every year, in the draft, take a quarterback no matter what. Miami did not listen to, and they did not do, but I find that a little bit ironic, I guess. Last thing I want to talk about, and I'm actually kind of surprised my voice is holding up so good, was on NFL.com, Greg Rosenthal ranked the 32 tops quarterbacks in the NFL as of today. And Ryan Tannehill, out of the top 32, he has ranked at 23rd. And I know many Miami Dolphins fans are like, that's way too low. I can't believe he's ranked 23 out of 32. I will say this. That's a fair ranking. That's a very fair ranking, in my opinion. Number one, Tannehill is coming off a year where he missed the entire season in 2017. So you can't go ranking him crazy high because he didn't play last year. That's number one. Number two, he's never played in a playoff game ever. It's just a fact. I know in 2016 he would have if he stayed healthy, but he didn't. So it is what it is, one of those types of things. The other thing I'll say is, if you look at this list, you could actually make the case he's probably ranked a little too high, because he is ranked ahead of people like Eli Manning and Joe Flacco. I mean, those guys have three Super Bowls between them, and I'm looking at the names ahead of him on the list. There's only three guys I think are ranked higher than him who shouldn't be. One is Winston in Tampa Bay, who he's a nice player, but I don't think he's done enough to be ranked ahead of Ryan Tannehill. The other is Deshaun Watson. Again, he only played a handful of games last year, and then he got hurt. So I don't know what they're basing that on. And the other one would be who's ranked 22nd, Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's not very good. I know they went to the playoffs last year, but Tyrod Taylor to me is just not very good. So those would be the guys I think are ranked a little too high. But then there's also a few guys who are ranked below Tannehill that probably should be higher as well. So it's all about a wash. 23 really is a fair ranking. It really is. When you take into account the injury, you take into account he hasn't played in so long, and also, you know, when he's been on the field, the Miami Dolphins really haven't won a lot of games. And I know wins and losses is not a quarterback stat, but once again, it kind of is. It kind of is a reflection on your quarterback. So I think that ranking's fair. But let me say this, and as we wrap up the show here, let me say this about Ryan Tannehill. If he comes back from this knee injury and everything's okay, and he plays that week one game there against the Tennessee Titans, if he plays and he picks up where he left off before the injury, and I'll say this right now on May 1st, the Miami Dolphins are going to be in store for a very big 2018 season. Very big. And by very big, I mean they'll be pushing for a spot in the playoffs and such. Because if he comes back healthy and he picks up where he left off, I think the team around him on each side of the ball is drastically much better than it was in 2016 when he went down to the injury. Yes, he lost Landry, but I think he has more wide receivers now at his disposal, and I think there's more flexibility there. He's going to have a tight end he's never had in his life in the passing game with Mike Gesicki. I think that's going to be a huge upgrade, and I think the offensive line, even though Mike Pouncey's gone, but he really wasn't there in 2016 anyway. So, I think the offensive line overall will be much better as well with the additions of Josh Sitton. I think Tunsil's going to be in store for a very good year. I think the right guard spot between Larson or Jesse Davis is going to be more than fine with whoever wins that job. I think the weapons around him in 2018 will be the best Ryan Tannehill has ever had. And then you look at the other side of the ball, I think the defense will be better. I'm not saying it will be great, but it will be better. So I think if Tannehill can come back from knee injury and not miss a beat and sort of pick up from where he left off in 2016, I do think the Miami Dolphins can have a big year in 2018, push for a wild card spot, and who knows, once you're in, maybe make a little noise and win a game or so. But as of today, when you're ranking the 32 quarterbacks in the league who start for each team, 23 is not unfair. It really not. Now, can you make a case he should be, you know, 21 instead of 23? Yeah, okay, maybe. But 23 is really not unfair, and that is a fair ranking. It's a more than fair ranking, honestly, when you look at the names on this list. I think it's fair. And we'll see what Tannehill is. So, that's all I have for today. Excuse me once again. Sorry about my voice. I've just been so under the weather pretty much since Saturday night. I'm slowly recovering, but we're getting there. But I do apologize about my voice and all the sneezing and coughing. I'm trying to do my best here for you. But we'll have a new show tomorrow. I do have a guest lined up for Wednesday. And later this week, I might have one or two more guests lined up for sure. But we will have a show out on Wednesday, as I do have a guest 100% confirmed. Then we will talk to him about the Miami Dolphins, the draft, and get his thoughts and everything from this offseason. So be on the lookout for that for tomorrow's show. If you're not following me on Twitter, why not? You should be following me. Follow me at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk. And also check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have a ton of new articles and content up, and there's a great video produced by Young Mayo, who is one of the contributors here for our website. Excuse me again. Young Mayo, he put together a secondary hype video where he shows highlights and clips of all the players in our secondary. Rashad Jones, Minka Fitzpatrick from college, obviously. You're getting Xavier Howard, Lippitt, all those guys. So check out that video up on the website, DolphinsTalk.com. You'll want to see it. But there's so many articles and analysis and breakdowns of all the guys we've drafted. Check out. Everyone's putting up great work. So check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. As always, visit the website to re-air this podcast. They are FinnFanatic.com, FinnFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com, as well as the Facebook pages, Fanatics and Doll Fanatics. So check them out as well. Like I said, we'll be back with a new show for you on Wednesday. Everyone have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.